In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I'm very, very happy to be here with you. I love this group, and when I look around the room, I find two things. A lot of people who were that young when I was coordinating the service for elementary school. I see many faces here. And then I also see a lot of big-time servants around here. George and I, we always argue who is big-time, whether it's me or you, but definitely the servants I see in this room are the big-time ones. In the next half hour or so, we'll have a talk about the season in which the church lives now. And as you can see in the first slide, the talk is titled, "There is no one like her." There is no one like her. I remember I came up with this title after, at the end of the movie, Mel Gibson's movie about the Passions of Christ. We were coming out of the movie, George and I. And I remember I told George, what Christ did was great, but there is no one like St. Mary. There is no one like St. Mary. And we'll see today why. She was an amazing, amazing personality. And today what we will try to do is to get closer to her. We see some of her great characteristics and some aspects of her life. And at the end of the day, I will give you a challenge. That every one of us will go home today with one aspect of her life that you will try to apply in your life, and you will ask for her help with that. And exactly that's the meaning of intercession. Steve was just talking about her intercession. That is intercession. Intercession, it doesn't mean that I stand there and say, St. Mary, please make the Cowboys win tonight or next week or whatever. That's not intercession. Intercession, it means a fellowship with the saint, that you get to know the saint, and in this case it's St. Mary, and you get to know her, you know about her life, you know how she lived, you know all her virtues, and slowly and step by step you ask for her help that you attain the same virtues that she had. And we'll see today that she had plenty, more than you can imagine. This is why we start by saying there is no one like her. Just to understand who St. Mary is and her position, not only in our church, but in the Bible, we'll go to the end of the New Testament, in the Revelation. When St. John was in heaven, he saw a great revelation. He saw a lady, as you can see here in the text, and that lady is clothed with sun, and she is sitting on a throne, and the moon is under her feet. And she is surrounded by 12 stars. When the fathers of the church came across this text, they said that lady is St. Mary, and those stars are the 12 disciples. And she is about to get into labor, and at the end you see that she bore a male child who was to rule all the nations. Who would that be? That's our Lord Jesus Christ with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. We see here that St. Mary is sitting up there, close with the sun, above all the disciples, above everybody else, even the moon is under her feet. It gives us an idea about the position of St. Mary in heaven and in the Bible. Not only that, for those of you who follow the church and our prayers, you understand that the church puts St. Mary in a higher rank than all the saints, all the martyrs, all the prophets, and listen to this, even above all the ranks of Neangelos, or the angels. Even higher than the archangels, even higher than Archangel Michael or Gabriel and all those great angels. St. Mary is above all of that. Why? How can we take a human being and put her in a higher rank above all those people? We'll know today why. That's St. Mary. Not only that, but some of the church fathers, when they try to describe to us why Christ was incarnate 2,000 years ago, why didn't he incarnate 24,000 years ago? Why didn't he incarnate 2,400 years ago? Why didn't he incarnate like 300 or 400 years prior to that time? Why did Christ select that particular time for him to come to our earth? You know, some of the church fathers ventured to say that our God was waiting for someone with the qualities of St. Mary to come and incarnate at that particular time. He was waiting for someone with the qualities of Saint Mary to come and incarnate at this particular time. It gives you an idea about how great she was and how special she was, not only in the eyes of God, but in our eyes and the eyes of the church as well. Why we adore Saint Mary that much? One of the saints said this text: through the incarnation of God's Son in the holy womb of Saint Mary, we see him dwelling in our souls. In our souls by the sanctification of his Holy Spirit. That's the greatest promise we get through Saint Mary, that God can dwell inside us. See, in the Old Testament, God was here and humans were there. And because of the sin of Adam, there was sort of an enmity between earth and heaven, or there was a problem between humans and God. But through Saint Mary's womb, we had a new and great promise, the greatest promise ever, that God himself can dwell in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies. Now, that's awesome, because this is a solution for all our problems, for all the problems of humanity, that God is not now miles and miles away from us, but God can dwell in our hearts. And that's the promise of Saint Mary. This is why there is no one like her, because she gave us a new path and a new life and a new promise that God himself can dwell in our bodies and minds. And that's actually what was announced to her when Archangel Gabriel came to her and said that the Holy Spirit, next one, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon someone, a prophet or a king or one of the great saints of the Old Testament, to do a certain thing. But never, ever in the history of mankind that the Holy Spirit would dwell inside anybody forever. That only happened in the New Testament, and that's what happens in us now through incarnation. But Saint Mary was a pioneer and the first one to get this great blessing that the Holy Spirit can dwell in her. The Holy Spirit will come upon her. Permanent dwelling. It's not just to come for a few hours to tell a certain prophecy and then depart her. No, that was a permanent dwelling of the Holy Spirit inside Saint Mary. This is why, again, Saint Mary is a very special person to all of us. Because through her, we get all these blessings, that God and the Holy Spirit can dwell inside us. This is why a lot of fathers, we say that all of us, all humanity, was hidden in Saint Mary during her pregnancy. All humanity, everybody, me, personally, Steve, George, everybody here in this room, all of us were hidden in Saint Mary during her pregnancy. And with this, we get the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our bodies. We will go today and try to discover why Saint Mary is very special. We'll take some characteristics that were very clear in her personality. And again, at the end of the day, I will challenge each one of you. Pick just one. Pick one of those virtues and see and ask her intercession so that you will get one of these virtues into your heart and into your life. First of all, she was a very clear example of a life of submission. She had a great submissive heart. Let's go back for a second and figure out something about her life. She was, by the time that the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her about her pregnancy and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, she was between 12 and 14 years old, and she used to live in the temple. Now, picture this for a while, for a second with me. A little child who is about 12 years old. Probably she had a certain idea for her life. As a young girl, and I see all the girls here can testify to that, she probably was dreaming of her marriage day, and she would walk down the aisle with whatever dress that she would have. I assume it would be white. And that probably was something that she was thinking about when she was young. But a few years later, when she joined the temple and she became more and more spiritual, she probably thought, well, yeah, that's a good idea to get married to someone one day, but I would love to have a child, and like similar to what Anna did in the Old Testament, I would donate him or put him into the temple to serve the Lord. She might even thought of not marrying at all and just devoting all her life to God to live and die without anybody knowing about her. So I'm sure that she had a certain plan for her life as she was growing up. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an angel appeared to her to change her life upside down. All your plans, forget about it, Mary. Do you want to get married? Forget about it. You want to get a son and donate him or put him into the temple? Forget about it. You want to just to live the way you want, nobody hears or cares about you? Forget about this. I'm going to tell you about a completely new life. I will change all your plans. Forget everything that you were thinking about. Not only that, this new life, it will mean a lot of trouble for you. Sometimes during when we are glorifying St. Mary and we are speaking highly of her, we think that she lived an easy life. But I will show you today how difficult her life was. And she endured all that with complete patience and with complete submission to God. So when the angel appeared to her and said to her that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you and you will conceive a son and his name will be Jesus and all the great prophecies that he told her, her only answer was, you can see it here in front of you, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Remember, at this time, she still had too many options. She could have said, that's very nice, but not now. I'm still 12 years old, I'm still young, I still have plans for my life. Why don't you wait on this plan for a few years? Not only that, she could have said simply, no, that's not for me. That's not for me. You can go to Elizabeth, my relative. She can take care of all this business about God incarnate and all this stuff. But that's not for me. I am just a lowly person and I live my life in the shadow here. Forget about it. That's not for me. She could have said that. She had options. But the only thing that came out of her mouth was, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. Complete submission. Complete submission. That was the best thing that St. Mary had to offer, not only at this moment, but throughout her life. Complete submission to the word of God. Whatever God tells her, she would do. I don't want to compare her with any of us because this would be a very difficult comparison. But I wanted to take some small examples. Sometimes in my life, I had certain ideas of what I want to do. I wanted to wake up, go to school or watch TV or play whatever Wii or whatever game I wanted to play. And I have a certain plan for my day. These are my daily activities. And then Abuna Anthony or Abuna Bishop would come, Fahim, I want you to wake up a little bit earlier, change your plans, and take your quiet time in the morning. Now I have options. I can say yes. I am the maidservant of the Lord. I will do according to you, to your will. Or I can say, nice plan, but it doesn't work for me. You see, there is a difference between a life of submission and a life of my own will. And St. Mary learned very clearly how to live a life of submission. That's number one. Number two, life of humility. We see that a lot in her life. We see that a lot in her life. And one example I picked here is the praise that she uttered after the angel spoke to her. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. But that's not the end of it. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. Is this humility or is this not? All generations will call me blessed. Is she showing some signs of pride? For who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. She's saying that I am that God had regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Clearly, she knows that she has a lowly state. But everything good in my life is because of the Mighty who is doing great things in my life. Okay? This is why all generations can bless me from now on till the end of ages. Notice that this is not a sign of pride, but this all speaking to her humility, that she realizes that she is weak, she is a weak person, she is a weak human, but it's because of God that every great thing is happening to her now. And that's exactly humility. Humility doesn't mean inferiority. Humility doesn't mean that I'm weak, I don't know how to do anything, I look at my low state of this maidservant. That's not humility, that's inferiority. But humility means that I know that I'm weak, but through God, I am strong and I can get things done. Sometimes we think that Christians have to be weak, and this is the true meaning of humility. That is wrong. Humility doesn't mean inferiority. It's not because I'm Christian, it's not because I'm submissive to God that I am weak. That's wrong. And we can see here clearly that she realized from now on that all generations will be blessing me, not because of me, but because of Him who is giving me all this power. We will see humility in every aspect of her life, and we'll go and actually we'll tie humility with the next slide, which speak, no, about her life of service. About her life of service. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered to the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. After she heard, she got the annunciation from the angel, she went and visited with his relative Elizabeth and stayed there for 3 months. What was she doing? Yeah. Elizabeth, at that time, she was way older than her. She was like her grandma. And she was pregnant with John the Baptist at the time. And she went, St. Mary went, and actually the distance between the temple where she used to live and that city of Judah was about 30 hours. 30 hours on a camel or on any animal that was available at the time. It wasn't that she started her SUV and drove for 30 minutes or so, but she took 30 hours just to go and spend time with Elizabeth. And remember, at that time, it was at the early part of her pregnancy. It wasn't easy on her. And she went there to give her sermons or to preach her? No. She went to clean the dishes, to prepare food, to take care of the laundry, to do all the basic needs for Elizabeth. That was a true meaning of service that was very clear in her life. Remember, she could have said this. I'm supposed now to be the mother of Jesus Christ. Okay? The Son of God. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. Just a prophet. Just a prophet, but I'm the mother of God. She is here and I am here. Who is supposed to serve whom? Elizabeth is supposed to serve St. Mary because this is the mother of God and this is the mother of just a prophet. Huh? But we see here St. Mary showing all kind of love and all kind of servitude to Elizabeth. And again, that's another sign of humility, that we serve and we offer service to others with love. She was an amazing person when it came to humility and serving others. And she showed that by every action in her life. She could have said, I'm tired, I'm pregnant, I have to stay home here taking care of myself. But she forgot completely about herself. She forgot about her needs, that she is already pregnant at this time and she needs to take care of her body and herself. And she went, took all this distance to go and serve somebody else who is in need of service. This is very important for us in our homes. You know, I'll tell you something. Sometimes it's very easy for me to be nice to others and to serve others. Friends, people at church, even go on mission trips and those things. But when it comes to our homes, to our families, it's the most difficult. And St. Mary here started by serving her relative, her family members. We can be very nice and very helpful and very supportive to everybody that we know. But when it comes to our family and our families and our family members, I don't want to say we are the worst, but I want to say that it becomes very difficult to serve our family members. Always fighting, always making troubles. But St. Mary wasn't this way. She forgot about her comfort. She got out of her comfort zone to serve Elizabeth. She was a great person. Next. And this was the best. Life of silence. And I remember one of the fathers of the church, when he was describing the virtues of St. Mary, he said this life of silence was probably one of the great reasons that God picked her to be the mother of God. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. We all know this story, but between the lines, you can decipher something. St. Mary, she got pregnant, and according to the Jewish law, she should be put to death, because in the eyes of everyone, this is coming out of adultery. But clearly, she did not talk to anybody about this, and about the Annunciation from the angel. Not even to Joseph. Imagine this. If I were in her shoes, yeah, probably I might not have talked to everyone, but at least I would go and talk to Joseph about what happened to me. So this is the closest person to her. But she didn't even talk to Joseph about it. Not only that. After the birth of Jesus Christ, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. This is Jesus, subject to St. Mary and Joseph. But his mother, St. Mary, kept all the things in her heart. She kept everything in her heart. I'll tell you something. Do you know that St. Mary knows a lot of secrets more than any one of us? Imagine this. St. Mary, when she was alone with Jesus Christ, what they were talking about? Not the Redskins and Cowboys, for sure. And they're not gossiping about the neighbors next door. I remember some years ago, I was listening to a sermon, and the person who was giving the sermon, it was one of the greatest sermons I ever heard. He was imagining a dialogue between St. Mary and our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine what they were talking about all day long. They were she was with him 24/7, at least in the early stages of his life. What were they talking about? And this person, the way he envisioned it is she's asking questions, and he is trying to tell her a lot of secrets and mysteries about the kingdom of heaven and why he was incarnate and the way to the cross. And he would come to her and say, "Do you know this burning bush?" So St. Mary would say, "Yeah, I read about this in the book of Exodus." Then Jesus would tell her, "This is talking about you." "Me? How come?" And then Jesus would explain to her all the symbolism and all the stuff that happened in the Old Testament. Do you know when Isaiah said the virgin will conceive and have a child and his name will be Emmanuel? "Yeah, this is difficult to understand. Who is that?" "Again, that's you." I'm sure, 100% sure, that St. Mary, she heard a lot from our Lord Jesus Christ beyond our imagination. You know, a lot of theologians today and a lot of people with great minds, they keep debating and arguing over lots of issues, what will happen after death, the Trinity, the Incarnation, the Immaculate Conception, all these very difficult topics. I'm sure that St. Mary knew a lot. But amongst all that, She kept everything in her heart. She kept everything in her heart. She was an excellent person in that. She knew how to keep everything inside her heart. You know, if it was me and I got a promotion, I don't know, I will call everybody in Maryland, Virginia, and Egypt, and just throw a party and do crazy things. But she, the mother of God, with all what she went through and with everything that she experienced with him, she kept everything in her heart. That's not trivial. I'll tell you from my experience, from my life experience at work and everywhere else, the people who talk a lot are the people who commit the most mistakes and most sins. And she clearly knew how to keep everything in her heart and how to experience this life of silence. A lot of the desert fathers, they always say that it's very important for the man to keep a life of silence in order to allow his heart to speak with God. And she clearly lived this. Next one. Life of a perfect mother. Life of the perfect mother. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And the means to achieve that was St. Mary. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. In front of this verse, the father of the church stood amazed. And I'll tell you why. What this verse is saying is that Jesus Christ was subject or was submissive to St. Mary. Okay? That means that everything St. Mary asked him to do, he would have to do it. Because he is submissive to St. Mary. Do we all agree? All agree? Everything that St. Mary told him to do, he would do it. Now, put next to this sentence another sentence that says that Jesus Christ was sinless. He didn't commit any sin. Do we all agree? Now, he doesn't commit any sin, and everything that St. Mary tells him to do is, he has to obey. Okay? Putting those two sentences together, it tells you that everything that St. Mary told him to do was sinless, was immaculate. Do you all agree? A equals B, B equals C, then A equals C. Algebra, simple algebra. Huh? Everything that St. Mary asked him to do was sinless, was pure. Can you imagine that? I'm a father, and if 50% of what I do with my kids is sinless, I'll be very happy. Sometimes I yell, sometimes I scream, sometimes I ask him to do something that's wrong, and I know it's wrong. But St. Mary, everything that she asked him to do was sinless. Otherwise, he would be committing sin. Who can do that? Who can do that? Very difficult. But St. Mary was the only one because, and again, it's not because just because of her, but because of Christ and his power that overshadowed her and gave her all the strength. I don't want to give you the impression that St. Mary was sinless. That's not correct, and this is not what the Orthodox Church believe. Actually, if you think about it, the Orthodox Church, we're getting out of time here, but the Orthodox Church has a very balanced view of St. Mary. We are not like the Catholic Church, which talks about St. Mary as sinless or as the co-redeemer, like taking part in our salvation. And we are not as similar to the Protestant Church, which consider him as a normal person. But we have a very balanced view of St. Mary. She is not sinless, but she has great qualities that made her the mother of God. And we see here one of her greatest qualities, that she was a perfect mother to the child. Last one. Last but not least, no, this is not the one yet. Life of prayer. You always come to Abuna and Abuna tells you, pray in the morning, pray at night, and if you can pray in between, that would be great. But this is an example of someone who lived the life of prayer continually and continuously. You know why? As I mentioned before, 24/7, she was with Jesus, doing what? Talking to him and listening to him. It's like reading the Bible and praying all day long. And she became a great example of a prayerful heart. Even after the birth of Jesus, she remained united with him. She remained united with him, and the Lord dwelt in her forever. She lived the life of prayer continually. The last point I wanted to make about her life, life of suffering and endurance. And I do not mean the time of the cross alone. Her life was a life of difficulties, tribulations, and suffering. And she endured all that with patience and with love. Take it from the beginning. The first thing that happened after the Annunciation was people suspecting her. What happened to her? How come she is now pregnant? And even as we read a few moments ago, Joseph, he suspected that she did something wrong. Okay, that's fine. Let's get beyond that. She will get birth of Jesus Christ. Well, this is the Son of God. He will be born in a palace when the best doctors in the world will take care of her. She ends up giving birth in the manger. Well, maybe things will improve after that. Few days or few weeks after the delivery of the child, no, you cannot live here. Take the child and your family and go to Egypt. Not just regular Egypt, Said in Egypt. And if you don't know how to deal with the Egyptians, go to the Said to see the real Egyptians. Egypt, I don't know anybody in Egypt. Why should I go to Egypt? I mean, you gave me the Son of God. You should take care of me. Put me in a palace. Put me in Rome. Why do you want to send me to Egypt? She endured that. During his lifetime, she said, maybe when he grows up, he will do miracles. People will love him. I will be adored and life will be easy after that. Well, he started making miracles, but he was called or labeled as Beelzebub, like the head of the devils. Some other people called him madman. They wanted to get him out of the synagogue. Imagine your child being thrown out of church. That's exactly what happened with him. And then the culmination of all that on the day of the cross. And this I mentioned early on, I was talking to George. Nobody was like St. Mary to endure all this suffering and to see his own son going through what he had to do. And what we do in the Agbaya when we remember that she is saying, as for the world, it rejoices because it's receiving salvation, but my bowels are on fire, are aflame because of what you have to endure in this day. The whole world is rejoicing, but she would have to endure the pain and suffering of her only son dying like that. I mean, I don't want to get very emotional, but if you look at, for example, the Passion of Christ movie and how every step of the way to the cross, and she remembers him as a child, and how when he falls, she remembers when he was a child falling on the ground, and everything that she has to watch happening to him on that day. How could she endure that? How could a mother endure that on that day? I really don't know if it wasn't for the power of God overshadowing her and supporting her on that day. The best scene in that movie ever is at the end, after Christ died on the cross, and she would draw nearer to the cross, and the blood of Jesus Christ is coming down the wood, and she would get closer, and the blood to fill her mouth. That's exactly Eucharist, and she was the first one to experience that. I don't think that Mel Gibson got it wrong. I think he got it very close to reality. Everything that she had to endure in that day, and the suffering that she had to endure. Life for her was never easy, never ever easy. And we go back to life of submission, the time that she said, I am the maidservant of the Lord. It was a key moment in her life, and she got the right decision. Of course, life was difficult, but she accepted all that for us to be saved from our sins. We talked about too many things with St. Mary. Life of silence, life of endurance, life of submission. I'm asking you, and I'm not asking you, I'm challenging you at the end. Take one of these. This is what we call true fellowship with the saints. That I want to be a fellow and be in complete fellowship with St. Mary. Take one of those characteristics of her life, one of her virtues, and ask her for her help that God would work in our lives and give us the same virtues that we had, that she had. Deal? Did I put anybody to sleep? Thank you for listening.